Welcome back. That's three welcome backs. That's how you know it's Brad here. Guest handling. Wow. I'm joined by my three
friends. A pretender
friends.
To the throne.
But he's so generous, though. I kind of like this king.
Yeah. Maybe they're friends.
Three welcome backs.
Three welcome backs.
Puppets.
Three friends.
Most you've ever given us is two.
Oof. All right, you know who they are. Joe, and Jean.
Hi.
Thanks.
So...
Here's the thing. Because Brad doesn't do this often, he doesn't know how to manage the welcome back economy.
Oh,
right?
You think there's going to be some inflation?
I think there's going to be some welcome back inflation.
He got a 1-to-1. He got a +1. There's a +1 coming in.
All right.
He is...
Hey, just wait. Wait.
Controlling
see how
flow.
It goes. That's all I'm saying.
The flow.
I don't like this Brad apologeticist behavior from Sean.
I don't know. I'm really thinking about voting Brad this election.
Now, here we go.
Uh-oh.
It's topical.
I'm just confused now.
Yeah, at this point.
Are we talking about the economy, the president election? Are they all wrapped together?
And we're going to do a 180 talking about anything else.
Talk about literally anything else. Guys, I moved in. I moved in, guys.
Yay!
I moved into a new house. Last time there was talk, I believe it was Dace who asked me if I was being foreclosed in just a really bougie way at some point in time because of the way that my house was being staged. But no, we actually sold it on purpose. And now I have my regular chair back and a new setup.
And would you say the experience was like super chill and something that everybody should do?
Yeah, I think that living between houses is definitely something that people should do. If there's ever a good reason to have some friends in life, it is so you can lean on them when you don't have a place to sleep. And you don't have to pay for an Airbnb. I thought Airbnb was supposed to be like more affordable than hotels and stuff.
Nope.
Has that ever been the case? Or is that just what they would say?
It's like 10 years out of date.
Yeah, but... I don't know, we're solid. I mean, we're still a little echoey in here. I don't really have any furniture besides just... You know, the desk and whatnot. And my cactus. Have you guys ever met Bruce?
Bruce?
This is Bruce.
This is an Australian cactus.
This is Bruce.
Your cactus looks like a chode.
Don't listen to him. He's jealous. I'm sorry, Brad. Did you have something?
Cactus.
Are you running?
No,
this?
let's just keep talking about economy, present elections. You know, buying houses and stuff
and
like that.
And cactus chodes.
And cactus chodes.
Brad, you gotta wrangle us in, man.
Not our strongest intro. I'm just gonna put it out there.
I had a whole thing planned.
Did you?
Oh. And now?
Whoops.
No, I'm not gonna do it.
Okay. Oh, we wanna go straight to the recap? Or
maybe the next session.
Maybe the next one.
You get it.
You tease.
Well, let me say something. I missed this. And I missed out on these sessions, and I listened to them and I enjoyed them thoroughly. So I am happy to be joining. As long as I can stay alive with my backup character.
Yes. I'm happy to have
excited
you.
Excited to have you on board.
Yeah.
Yes.
As we've had a lot of fun with this so far. We've only done 4 episodes of this, of Music from a Darkened Room, and decisions were made.
Yeah.
And I regret nothing.
No, not that last episode was... It escalated.
It did.
A little. Yeah.
Well, let's go to the recap. Jean, do you have 4 hours, give or take?
I'm with you, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go. We're just going to play the episodes. Okay, you guys
it's
ready
gonna
to play?
It's a reaction video. That's it. That's a reaction podcast to us doing a podcast.
Someone has to have done it.
It's us reacting to ourselves.
Gross.
I'm down. But how to recap this Yes, for anyone listening, this is music from a darkened room operation, an older operation, aside from our Unknown Landscapes main one.
And doesn't even know the name.
Close. He's so close, though.
It's so far.
He knew there was landscapes involved.
He knew.
What is it?
He knew there was landscaping. It's Impossible Landscapes.
Oh, yeah.
Unknown Landscapers. It's a different one.
Some guys just showed up and started mowing dudes.
And it's beautiful.
I mean, who the hell are they?
I mean, they did a great job. They trimmed the sidewalk.
Can that be
everything.
Our next one?
It's
actually,
the
can
one,
we do that one right now?
Delta Green operation that doesn't have any cosmic horror. It's just like... dudes living their lives.
There's like, you know how people do crop circles? Like they go out at night and they do the crop circles? It's like that, except they just come and like, and they take your hedges and they trim them into the shape of animals.
Shame, these are this is literally the first like 6 words that Brad said to recap, and we just no quarter.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I think y'all got it. That was basically the recap. Some strange decisions were made last time. Basically, y'all are trying to figure out what's going on in this house. Creepy, old, bad house. Two experienced DG agents were brought to the case by their handler, Mr. Summers. You know, they were given some leads. One of the leads, they, you know, went to the county seat, found some evidence. They kind of went through and know where the house is, basically have a list of the people that have lived there from 1956 to the present day, 2017. You know, you have some a little bit of information about some of the residents that have lived there, but kind of your biggest clue is this green box that was left that Arthur Dunnelly, the agent that died at the house, left behind. And you found a bunch of weird stuff in there, and of all the stuff you guys picked to take away, it was the body of a dead child that has been there who knows how long. He's been dead at least since 1960. You know, you take that, you take some other the other stuff. I think you take the shotguns and the ammo. Decide that Brian McLug, the guy that runs the Meadowbrook store at where the screen box is, really hasn't been in there. So you think it's clear, it's been safe, it's been kept there since Arthur Dunnelly, undisturbed. And from there, you decide to take a dead body to the nexus of all supernatural causes in the region, the house at Spooner.
Do we want to Spooner clap?
No judgment. Yeah. No judgment.
I thought it was a strange choice, but you know, why not?
You act like this shit happens all the time. Like, look, obviously, every time you take a piece of evidence back to the place, something bad happens. All right, like.
So you take a dead body to 1206 Spooner Ave.
All right.
You don't even go in the house. I think Alice looks in the mailbox. Yeah. And decides it's a lost cause after there's no mail in there. And, look,
I mean, you're not making us look very, very good here.
You're leaving out a lot of the context. Guys, he was trying
this
to
is my version. Good. This is my version. Okay. I'm telling the story. When we play Unknown Landscapes, which is what it'll be from now on,
unknown you can do what you want to do.
You can do what you want to do, Joe.
All right.
This is my take. I'll get back in the car. On a serious note, I think Alice does see something maybe on the side of the house, but it is spooky. You're a little bit spooked to go there naturally because, you know, there's something messed up going on here, so you don't want to go in just guns a-blazing without possibly more research. And you hear something coming from the coffin of Anton. And you just hear the words, "Where's my daddy?" You guys get freaked out. You drive the coffin out to the middle of nowhere. You get some explosives via Mr. Summer. You bury it, get the explosives, come back, blow it up, dig it up again, put the explosives in there, and blow it up after you make sure he's dead. There's just bones. And some strange stuff happens there. You hear a chant in an unknown language. The fire starts acting funny before it explodes. And it explodes. And that seems to be the end of that little...
And then I think we went and got a motel and went to sleep for a little while.
And that's where we pick up.
I just want to ask the question. It wasn't a bad idea to take the body, just in general, right? Like, it wasn't a bad idea to take it and secure it, right?
It's very unconventional.
Are you looking for validation here?
Like, was it a bad idea? Should we have left it there where people could have gotten to it? Like...
No, I think we should have probably concealed it, well...
Prior to, yeah.
You know...
I mean, hindsight, 2020, yes. But, like, it was not a bad idea to take it from the unit.
It's basically, I think what happened, maybe I'm just justifying ourselves, but I think it was one of those RPG things where, like, you get an item and you just forget about it. Like, it's in your bag of holding or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, its body was in our trunk. It's a body and trunk.
Have you ever played a point-and-click adventure where, like, you just end up taking every item that you find and clicking it on every other item?
Yes.
Like, yeah, that's what we were doing.
Is that what you were doing first episode?
All right. So I'm going to take it real quick over to the board, over to our wonderful board.
Take it to the board.
Take it to the board. Which was introduced to us by wonderful Jean.
Miro.
Yes, Miro is just an incredible board. Incredible way to make murder boards. So this is kind of like what we're working with right now. I'm showing it on the stream. Okay. So... I added a few questions that were over here on the right. Just some stuff to keep in mind when I was listening back. The info that we got on the Kreese family was off of the back. This is very meta, so forgive me. The information that we got on the Kreese family was off the back of a failure. It was off the back of a failed roll from our boy Tony, who's the records keeper in City Hall. So we got to keep that in mind. There might be more on the creases if we actually succeed in a roll. Okay. One of the things that was said go ahead.
No, Tony was just one of my favorite characters listening to.
God, so good.
Noting.
Mm-hmm. So good.
I want to see Tony again.
Well, y'all failed. Tony succeeded.
Oh, did Tony did succeed?
That's what I thought.
Okay. All right.
So this is off a success from Tony because you got to convince him. So you had plus of having Tony search with you.
Well, then I will mark through that and delete that one. Fantastic. I love it when stuff gets removed. The other one is, one of the things that was said is that Margaret Kreese, we know that, what was the name of the guy? George Kreese got really religious and Margaret Kreese got really angry and pushy. And pushy is like a weird thing to say, in my opinion. I'm wondering what her fixations were. We do know that they spent an exorbitant amount of money on putting these wall-to-wall mirrors in the master bedroom. And I want you to imagine, have you ever been in an elevator where there are mirrors on both sides, and it looks like the room goes on forever?
Yeah.
Like, that's gonna be some creepy shit, man. It's like, I'm wondering what's up with that. I'm betting that the bedroom might be one of the more dangerous rooms in there when we need to go.
I think it was just a sex thing.
Okay, there you go. This is why we need Sean.
Yeah. I mean, he's already cracking the case.
He's already cracking the case.
Fresh legs.
Just sex things. And then the other thing is, like, something that Tony did say, there apparently are pictures somewhere of this bedroom in some type of trade magazine. And Tony mentioned looking in at the newspaper, which I think is a really good idea. Besides that... and also, Tony may have implied that locals... We need to ask locals more about what they know. Like, Tony had implied that maybe it's a place for where he's like, oh yeah, people definitely don't go and smoke there. It's like, I think people know about this house, and I think when we talk to locals, we should be getting, you know, just like kind of getting their idea. That's all I have to say about from last time. So I guess we are picking up at the hotel.
Have we gone to the antique dealer yet?
No.
Wasn't there an antique in the green box? Was it a table?
A table. Mm-hmm. And we are on Saturday morning, so I suppose we could.
Yeah. We could do that. You found a... you couldn't derive much from it, but there was a table that seems somewhat older in the green box. And, of course, Summers told you that two of your main leads might be two friendlies. What's her name? The antique dealer in town...
Elizabeth Tucker
and Emil Yarrow, who's a abnormal. I said paranormal because it says it twice in here, but apparently his profession is abnormal psychology at this college.
Okay. We can't make that quip anymore.
Well, it says he's obviously a paranormal psychologist, but his actual profession is.
And it's a shame because it was such a good joke, am I right? Yamila Isri.
Yamila,
does that name mean anything to anybody?
Yes, that was the person who had the house directly before she died in the house, also by suicide, before Arthur Donnelly.
Okay.
Yep.
So
she died 16 months ago, prior to Arthur.
So hold up. I know I'm not in the game yet, but are we really looking into the antiques dealer?
I think the idea is that she might also, because there was said that not only is she an antique dealer, but she also like knows about houses and renovations like in the area and stuff.
Okay.
Because she's been in business for a while.
It's more like something that we would have done anyway because Summers tipped us off to her.
Right.
We just so happened to have a table that maybe she could give us some insight on.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, like both of these people were provided by Summers.
Like an icebreaker.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could look at it like that, indeed.
Are you implying that maybe we should have gone there first?
Guys, I don't know. It would be a stretch to me, but I'm not in yet. That was just a question.
Right.
It's sort of like an icebreaker, less in the conversational way, and more like those ships in Antarctica that literally break ice.
Yeah.
That's how we're playing this
game. Right, okay. I love that.
Okay. We're just fucking smashing through it.
Do you think that... Go ahead.
No, I mean, I was going to ask about the hat lamp. Are we gonna do a 2-for-1 on that antique dealer with the antique table and the hat lamp? Ah.
Hat lamp?
Hat lamp. It says there's a hat lamp.
What are you talking about?
It says there's a hat lamp.
On the list?
On the list, a hat lamp.
Oh, I just assumed that was because I assumed that was just like a battery-powered headlamp that someone is.
Fair enough. All right.
Why didn't you bring the hat lamp to the house?
Why didn't we bring the hat lamp?
Right?
God knows what happened to it.
It was dark. Right.
So here's a question about Alice and Axel. Like, so I imagine that maybe we have like conjoining rooms, like in the hotel.
Yeah.
So.
Really. Interesting.
So probably around, because we were up really late last night. Axel, you're gonna hear a knock on the conjoining door. Like you probably 8:30, 9.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you up and about in there?
Give me 1 second. Like some rustling around. Puts on clothes. Yeah, opens the door. Good morning, Axel.
And he is, we actually made a roll at the end of last episode, which I think was to determine how well we slept or something. It was some type of luck roll, I don't know what it was for. That was kind of my assumption. So, like, did we sleep well? Is there anything I should know about, like, how the night went, Brad?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it went pretty well, all in all. You know, just blew up. Dead child's.
I meant maybe the sleeping part.
Yeah, that was fine.
Okay. Yeah.
How did you sleep, Axel? I slept like a baby after we blew up that dead boy. Wow, I've never slept so hard in my life.
I actually don't sleep well without without the smell of recently exploded
it's like debris. A chocolate so on the just... pillow.
Well, it's like, you know, some people can't sleep without a fan. Like,
yeah, but for you it's like the smell of charred corpses.
Yeah, yeah. So that's so good is the answer. So listen, do you wanna? I grabbed you a coffee from downstairs.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, do you want to? We want to reach out to Summers. What are we thinking? We just blew and we saw cops going to the site last night when we were leaving. Do we want to?
Do you really think Summers needs to know? I can hear what he's going to say, and he's just going to be disappointed, and I don't need that.
Like, he's not even going to be angry.
Just disappointed.
Just disappointed.
Which is worse.
All right. What do we...
How do you feel, you want to go antiquing today?
I thought you would never ask. I'm really excited.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. Well...
I wore my cargo shorts to make it look like I was really there. Like, for the antiquing, you know?
Do you have your white socks pulled up as far as they can go?
Yes.
And your Nike running shoes?
Oh, no, you're right. I have longer socks. Hold on. That's...
Okay.
Let me go get those.
Attaboy. Don't forget your polo.
I've counted four times so far where Axel goes to change into something else. Let it just be
hold on. All right. Okay, so yeah, let's get out of here. Do we want to talk about what happened last night, or do we just want to move on for the time being?
More often than not, it's best to repress such things.
I like where your head's at.
Just tamp it down to the bottom.
Not a problem.
The very bottom. Pack it like you're a compactor.
Yeah.
Take all of your fear and your rage. And just crush it down to the bottom, never to see the light of day again.
Right. Until it can't be contained.
And then you start a punk band and you make kick-ass songs and you'll go crazy on stage. Take it from me.
Right. Yeah, that's where I... Yep. That's how I blow off steam.
What is Axel picturing his head when he says that?
He's just trying to imagine probably Alice like in a punk band because like you know Summers had said something about it and he's just like so do you play like guitar or like what's
I play a little bass, I sing a little.
Okay, all right. There is one thing I'm thinking about here that I think we need to be aware of. You know how Summers said that maybe we could contact the local PD for weapons, that he had arranged that?
Yeah, I remember.
So we don't really need weapons, necessarily. But it might be a good way to maybe check in on what the PD is doing after there was an explosion. Like, it might be a good excuse to pop in. Like, hey, anything interesting going on?
You don't think it might be a little suspicious that we show up the morning after an event like that?
You're probably right. All right, let's go antiquing.
Yes. Fade out. Let's go antiquing.
I wonder. I hope we don't run into any other weirdos today that have to be added to this clusterfuck. God, that would just complicate things.
I'm sure that would not happen.
Right. So you leave. Great character development. Yeah,
naturally.
That's great. So y'all leave the.
Fuck you, Brad.
So dry.
You leave the inn that you're staying in, and I guess you know you have
Are
the address of Elizabeth. Kirk,
you leave the inn.
The Meadowbrook Inn.
Okay. Pardon me.
Well, it says. I'm reading it right here.
All right.
You're heading towards the antique dealer, which is, you know, it's one of the only antique dealers in town, and you know, it's not too hard to find her small town. As you're on your way there, behind you, lights go up. The sheriff.
All right.
Don't get jumpy, Axel.
Yeah, just play it cool. We actually have the sheriff's name, Michael Buffington. We know that he's the local sheriff, and that this is his first year as sheriff, and he wants things to be kept quiet.
Okay.
We were given that by Summers. So they're going to pull over and roll the window down. Badge and ID are out.
He comes over there. He says badge and identification. He's got like a cup of coffee walk with him.
Is this just a deputy or is this a sheriff?
He says, Agent Axel, is that correct?
I think my code stuff is Jericho, but sure, it doesn't matter. We don't need to get mixed up.
I feel like the code names are more for DG. Y'all talking online.
It wouldn't be like
Mr. Jericho. That's kind of
Weird. Like Agent Armstrong.
Agent Armstrong.
We have FBI badges that have names. Like mine says FBI. That's Sybil.
That's your DG code name. You would still be like.
Okay. Like we have fake IDs. I think is the implication. Yeah.
Well, you tell me what you hand them. So it's.
Okay, it's a fake ID that has. That has a fake name on it. We'll just go with Jericho for simplicity's sake. Agent Jericho is what it says.
Agent Jericho? He looks at Alice's. He's Agent Sybil?
That's right.
And, good to meet you, Deputy...
Sheriff.
Sheriff. Actually. Sheriff Buffington, I believe. Yes. Heard you were running the show down here.
Yes, we haven't been introduced. And I think I might have found something for you.
Really?
He waves like this. And who do we see come out of the sheriff's car? John.
In handcuffs.
Not in handcuffs.
Is he in the back of the car?
He was in the passenger seat.
Okay.
Gentlemen.
What are we looking at, John?
Yeah, how does this individual look?
So we're looking at a young 20-something-year-old man with tiny, tiny glasses on his head. It's like impractically tiny glasses. Tattoo sleeves coming up the neck, and a bit of a buzz cut. Looks like a bit of a hipster. But he's got like some kind of a wiry, wiry frame to him.
Like is he just like a small built guy, or is he just like really doesn't eat a lot?
You know, like in The Matrix, there's that character Mouse.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
There you go.
He's the guy who's really into Neo.
Except a lot cooler. Looking.
Okay, so that like
made,
shape,
that made the
hot
girl
like
in the program.
Yeah.
There's
the
always
girl in the red dress.
That caveat.
Yeah.
At the end of any character description, usually mine is like blah 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 blah, but like really hot.
But really hot.
And John's is like, but way cooler though.
But way cooler than this guy. But he's shaped like that guy. He has like tattoos. Yeah.
So you see this kind of like hipster tattooed guy walk up, and Sheriff Buffington says. Was on the phone with your superior, a Mr. Summers.
Oh, you talked to Summers?
Yes. We talked for a while, and he told me you had someone new coming on the case, so I took the liberty to pick him up at the airport and bring him to you.
Oh, that is very, very kind, Sheriff Buffington. Yes, I sure we can... coordinate. Thank you.
Mention it. You know, Herbert, was it?
Yes. I just wanted to say how much I appreciate you bringing me out the out here. It was not on your way. It was very last minute, and thank you. You can go now.
No problem. Hold on, hold on.
Yeah, there was a to leave.
We definitely have a. It's definitely a busy day, and I don't mind doing this, but I would like some manners, Herbert.
Oh, I thought I said the thank you part first. Did I get it wrong? I'm sorry.
Yes.
This happens sometimes.
Thank you. You may go. And
yes, yes.
He has like some glasses. You know, he's got slick back white hair. Some glasses. He looks like to be early 40s. He says, "You fellows weren't having to be out late last night, were you?"
Oh no, sir. I sir. We just kind of mind our P's and Q's. Just trying to run some last minute stuff down for the bureau. I'm sure you're aware of what happened.
Actually, I'm not. What are you fellows investigating?
Sheriff,
I have a suspicion, but
may I? We had a very good chat this morning, and we do have a lot of business to attend to, hence the urgency. If you'd excuse us.
Yes, we have to go antiquing.
Yeah, we're, I've got my polo on, if you haven't noticed. That's,
the socks, the Nike shoes.
I understand. Official FBI business.
Sheriff Buffington, I'm sure you're aware... We lost one of ours here. We're not trying to cause any trouble or get in your way or get in your business. I think we all know that our man Donnelly was troubled. We're just crossing our T's and dotting our I's here. We'll be out of your hair. Thank you for getting our man.
No problem. It was nice to meet you, Herbert. Sybil, Jericho.
Yes? Goodbye now.
Mr. Herbert, why don't you get in the fucking van?
Oh.
I will just ask that you do one thing for me as he looks at Herbert before I leave. Have a good day. And he walks away.
This dude's got major Twin Peaks vibes.
He does, yeah. Well, that's what I'm wondering, because it's like this whole, like, his first year as sheriff, like, he's trying to be the big man on campus. Like, you don't want to fuck with this guy.
So Herbert gets in the car, and as soon as the door shuts and he's out of earshot, he looks to the other guys like, that guy's a shitbag. Oh my god. I had to keep that up. You don't know how long that drive was. Why the fuck am I out here? What am I doing here?
Could you call Summers, please? And
Summers.
We're gonna we can skip the part where we verify that Herbert is actually in Delta Green. We don't have to RP that all out.
Herbert is not very socially he's not good at socializing.
Hmm. So really? Herbert, if that is your name, what's your history with the organization?
Look,
is this your first mission? You're green?
You can call me Herpin.
Hairpin, you say?
Hairpin. That's hairpin? My handle. Hairpin.
Your handle?
Hairpin or...
Hairpin. Like, a hairpin trigger that goes off too quickly. A girl gave me this name, and it kind of stuck.
Under what circumstances did a girl give you
that? Axel reaches up and turns the rearview mirror where he can look at Herbert in the eyes. He's like,
look, that's rough, man.
That's fine. It's kind of cool.
I'm sure you had a great time. Anyway.
clarify, we were on a job together. We were, how can you say, accessing an official system remotely. And I was just very quick at it. So, Hairpin. And,
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you say,
sure,
bud.
Sure.
Yeah.
listen, have you been read in to what's going on here?
Yeah. I even heard the news this morning about an explosion out there.
Is that on the news?
Well, that's what the sheriff was telling me on the way. I figure that was you.
Hmm. Alright.
He's highly intelligent, so he'll be able to piece things together. No problem.
Herbert, I will reiterate the question. Hairpin.
Thank you.
I'll reiterate the question that Alice asked you.
Oh.
How much of this have you done?
Oh, honestly, this is my first job for this organization. I'm a computer specialist, and I was approached by the organization after a bit of a my business didn't go well online, let's say, and there was some import-export, and that's all I can say. And apparently I was exporting the wrong thing. And these people showed up, and they said that I now work for them, so I am working off whatever the fuck this is.
You know what the organization deals with, the nature of what we're doing.
Nope.
Wow, you are in for a big surprise. You just don't read the comment.
I have some choice, ma'am.
Typically, like, he looks at Alice and is like, typically they know about the unnatural when they show up, but fuck me. Like,
this makes me wonder what he was exporting, but Jesus. He says he doesn't know about the... This is a... All right, then, rookie.
Hairpin, we are on our way to meet with contact. A local folklore antique aficionado, perhaps. Can you do research for us?
Yes. It's kind of my thing.
Is it?
You heard of Google?
Listen.
You're both pretty old, but there's this thing called Google now. Very effective research.
How old are you?
20.
Hairpin, 20?
20.
All right. Axel's gonna turn around, and Axel, like, when he turns around, like, he turns around and, like, puts his hand on the back of Alice's seat to, like, turn himself around, and his left arm is, like, mangled up to the elbow, like, covered in scars. He's a pretty big guy, and he's got his pistol, like, underneath his left armpit. He's like,
this is, I appreciate a good quip here and there. But this is also really serious, man.
Oh.
You understand?
Yeah, I guess so.
The newspaper here in town. Supposedly they might have records of this house we're looking at. This, Spooner Street. Okay. 1206 Spooner Street. Do you have a connection? They're closed, but we need this info, like, meow.
Well, I can get it 24/7 if you know what I mean. You just got to tell me which system we're looking at. The newspaper, you say?
The newspaper. There was a trade magazine that took pictures of 1206 Spooner Avenue between 1959 and 1960.
What exactly are we looking for?
Pictures of this house, of this renovation. Okay. Whatever you can find, man.
Can I do a computer science to get some specialist information?
Y'all are still on your way, so what is happening is Herbert wants to look up some info about the house via the local newspaper, pictures, just anything like that, and also y'all are going to the antique dealer. Is that what's happening?
Okay. Like, does Herbert have, like, do you have, like, a, like, kit with you, like a backpack that's, like, you open it up, you've got your satellite, like, internet connection and stuff like that?
Yeah,
and,
I figure.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how fingerless are his gloves, would you say?
Extremely. Yeah. I would say to the bone finger.
Oh,
to
so
the
impressive.
Finger. Like, I'm all thinking. Right.
Lower. Okay, even further than the ones you're wearing right
now. Further than the ones I'm wearing.
Oh, okay.
But any Herbert symbols? Also Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
Any semblance to real life characters, imagined or real, is purely coincidental.
It's purely coincidental.
Roll this for me, and then also roll me just like a straight up charisma check to see how well you did with the sheriff.
Is Herbert's charisma notably high or notably low?
It is notably 9, which is very
notably
low.
9?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, computer science was good, 24 and 60, and charisma was a failure, 70 over 45.
Okay. Didn't impress him.
Nope.
You get a Herbert's looking for specific information on the house, 1206 Spooner. You also, while you're doing this, look up the antique store you're going to. She has an online shop. The shop, pictures on the shop look pretty normal to antique stores, you know, kind of they share a wall with other businesses, a bunch of junk outside. But you do see that she kind of fancies herself as more of like she can find old lost heirlooms, not just like selling furniture. Also, when this is happening, you get a text. Basically says, be careful around Buffington. He knows this is unofficial - Summers.
Okay.
Alright. Noted. We need to avoid Buffington.
Okay, so what years were you got a... What did you roll for that? This was just a straight up computer science?
Computer science, yeah.
Can we update our character sheets since we slept?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this is kind of weird. I guess I'll give this to you this time, you know, because this is your skill, but I feel like it's kind of weird to just hack information just constantly. So tell me what year you want to look
into. Have you seen Hackers, Brad?
Have you seen the documentary?
Let me quote. Let me pull up a quote. Information is penetration.
Better be good. Well, you don't have to threaten me.
What does that even mean? Oh my.
Threaten me with a good time.
I didn't know you're that kind of hacker. Okay, what year do you want to... You have this list of people they've kind of given you the rundown. They know that this is the
probably
date.
Far back. So maybe the first like 30 years.
Or do you want more focused than that?
I want more focused. What? We can do that. If you want to do that, I'll make a judgment call. Or you can do specifically who you want to look up.
Well, specifically, we wanted some info on the creases. Or, like, well, I guess this is a question between these guys. Like, Alice, like, what do we think? Do we want to just see if we can find something on Wheeler or Jura real quick?
We had a short list going on. Was that the... Are those the only two people on the short list?
You look at that big list, Dace, in a roll 20 that's under Summer's picture. You can make it bigger if you need to see. That is the list of all the residents up into Yamila Isri that died and Special Agent Arthur Dunn.
I think the ones we were really... With the Wheelers are the first ones who ever lived there.
Yeah.
As far as we can tell.
We already did some information and rolls on... On who?
On the creases. We did crease, and then there was a fumble on Ture. So maybe Ture is a good one to go on.
And stick agreed. Him on. Maybe if we're going to focus on one person in particular, it'd be the Tures.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so that's 63 to 66 is when they were in the home.
Okay,
it's a flurry of keystrokes.
Yeah,
I'm doing the hacker. Just a blur. Now
I'm the hacker.
The terror, as you say.
Look at me. I'm the hacker now.
Speed of his fingers. It's a blur. Just that hairpin reminded me of something. When I was working at the cabinet shop, there is an absurd guy named Jason. He was like a lanky, redheaded dude that had a speech impediment. And the first time I met him, I was like, "What's up, man? What's your name?" He's like, "You can call me Shamrock." And I just straight up like, "No, I'm not going to do that. What's your
name?" Like, is it one of those things like when someone tries to give themselves a nickname that they think is cool, but it's like, but no one else is doing it?
Probably. He was one of these dudes that, like, because he's redhead, he thinks he's Irish.
Yeah.
Even though he's never stepped a foot in Ireland, couldn't be further. He's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
He was a character. His story didn't end well. Anyway.
Sad.
Sorry, trying to figure this out.
Should I keep talking about the saga of Jason / Shamrock?
Joel Shamrock. Yes.
Continue.
Call me Shamrock.
So wait, we're looking up the parents of Anton.
Well, if we can just look up the Tyr family, right? Yeah. And we know that they lived in the house from up there in the top right of the board.
Yeah. So wait,
between 63 and 66.
What happened to, so it was Adam and Rebecca and family. Listed as dead?
Well, we know Anton, their son, died. Right. And this is something we talked about before, that when you look down this list, because we know we need to at some point in time start doing some research on survivors. When you look down these lists, there are certain families where...
A lot of families.
Well, there's families where, like, for instance, like Adam and Rebecca Tyr, one dead, that implies that Adam and Rebecca Tyr are at least survived the house. Maybe they're not alive now.
Yeah.
There's like in 1906 or 1988, Jason and Janine Alkin was a gas leak died. And one died. So that, again, it implies that at least one person survived the incident.
Okay.
Something interesting. I noticed it said the Tyrs, I forgot their names already, but it said and family.
Yeah.
That implies that it wasn't just the son.
So maybe there's other.
Here's what y'all see.
Could be siblings.
Oh,
I'm sorry for that wait, but. You're able to get a good bit.
I've got something. That.
Adam and Rebecca Tyr
are
and family.
In? I'm in.
The Tyrs were a transplant from Montreal, Quebec. They moved into the 1206 Spooner Ave in 1963.
This might be the Canadian healthcare laws thing that he was talking about. That was on his list.
They moved there with two children.
There you go.
Ellis and Anton. They lived there for something... They lived there seemingly without incident until 1965, when Rebecca Tyr was briefly hospitalized for mental exhaustion. She spent 6 weeks in the mental hospital and was treated with electroshock therapy.
What year was that?
That was in 1965. So a year before they stopped living at the house in 1966. Rebecca resumed life as a homemaker. Ellis, however, had become a problem. The 18-year-old became violent at school and was often sent home for swearing. On January 12th, 1966, Rebecca Tyr discovered her son, 9-year-old Anton, drowned in the toilet bowl of the master bedroom.
The door
to the bathroom was locked from the inside. Rebecca Tyr was permanently hospitalized from that point on. Adam Tyr left the area with his wife and daughter and never returned.
Ellis is a daughter.
Right. So it seems like everyone got away except for Anton, the youngest boy, who died drowned in a toilet
bowl. Wife is permanently hospitalized, and the husband and the daughter got away unscathed, so we could presumably find them. Is that what I'm hearing?
Could you give them, what was that whole date again?
Yeah, good
job. The date where they were there was 1963 to 1966.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that. Cool. All right, yeah. On 12 January, 12 Jan. Okay.
So it seems like this Rebecca person is a bit of a crackpot.
She's...
Am I using that term right?
No.
Crackpot.
So she... All right. So Adam left... with his wife and daughter and never returned, but she was permanently hospitalized.
Wait. Say that again?
It says here Rebecca Tur was permanently hospitalized. From that point on, Adam Tur left the area with his wife and daughter and never returned. So he might have taken her back to Canada, back to Quebec.
I thought Rebecca was the wife.
She is.
You just said he left with his wife and daughter.
Yes.
Yes. What's your confusion?
I thought the wife
was Rebecca.
Permanently hospitalized.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's probably hospitalized. He took not her.
Okay. Because one of the things we saw in the notes from Donnelly was this question, this one sentence, which was just, talk to survivors, Canadian mental health laws? So, yeah.
Okay.
Herbert, that is...
Yeah.
That is some good info.
It's what I do. It's what I do.
Attaboy.
Do you have a
Jesus.
Treat? I'd like a treat.
There might be... Look under the chair, under the seat. There might be some fries or something stuck back there.
Fries.
He wants a ring pop.
I mean, he was... I would say like maybe at this point in time we make it to the antique store and, you know, Axel pulls up. You know, he stops the car and puts it apart and he turns to Alice. He's like, was drowned. Didn't you say something about that in the storage unit?
When Alice was there, she had a flash when you all opened the coffin of just Anton's bloated face. You also saw water coming from the coffin, slushing around when he moved it and buried it.
And the bathroom was locked from the inside. Kind of a... rare that somebody drowns themselves like that.
A kid, 9 years old.
How do you drown in a toilet bowl?
With determination.
It's very or shallow.
Herbert, this is what we're dealing with. Axel in no, like, he's going to be very frank about what happened last night. He's gonna be like, we recovered this from the storage unit. We went by the house. Some water started coming from it and everything. He's gonna tell me, he's like, listen, I don't know how much you've been read in on what the organization is doing here.
None. This is awful.
A massive oversight. You're right. This has been a massive oversight. You should not be here.
I should not. It's my day off. I shouldn't be here today.
Listen. I don't know if you believe in this shit or not. This is what we're dealing with. Okay?
Oh, God. Oh, God. He starts shaking. Oh.
Do you need, like, a bag to breathe in or something?
Oh, do you have one?
Alice dumps out the rest of the bag fries and puts a greasy McDonald's bag on his face.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Breathe.
This is not my strong suit. But I'll be strong.
You're in shock.
I'll be strong. Mom said I gotta be strong. I'm gonna be strong.
What just came out of your mouth?
You get a text from Summers and he's like, did you get the new agent? Tall, stocky man, veteran.
Seems there has been a mistake, but you are here now.
Well,
so I guess
I already told you all the stuff, so it looks like you're on the team.
Oh, why'd you tell me that?
All right, we ready to go in and talk to this
roll
lady.
Sandy, roll. Check.
it's just stories.
So he's like, he just believes it. Like, he just automatically believes everything that Axel tells him.
Okay, so let's... So in actual Delta Green, like, you would not be a Delta Green agent if you didn't know... about something about the unnatural. Like, they don't let you in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, surely there's something that brought...
I'm imagining he was exporting some illegal shit on the internet, and Delta Green picked him up, like, reeled him in, and gave him a slap on the wrist, you can't do this anymore.
Yeah. And maybe the nature of whatever he... Maybe the nature of what he was messing with was occultic and he did or didn't know it. Or maybe he doesn't even believe it, but he was just trafficking in it, right?
Yeah. He's super naive at this point, so he's just...
Okay.
20-year-old right. dropped in the shit.
All right, follow our lead there.
Okay. I've got my laptop, by the way. Do I need something? Do I need, like, a gun? Do I need a gun?
No, you don't.
You do not need a gun.
The thing is, he technically does have the minimum gun skill. Yeah, yeah. So he has gun skill. Like, we'll think about it. If you're good.
Okay. That's your choice. I trust you.
All right. We're gonna go up to this. So it's just a pretty typical antique store. Like nothing.
Yeah, very typical. Junk out front. You go inside. There's old clothes, old lamps, and you come to
like cluttered.
Right. Yeah. Let's see if I can pull this picture. This female, and it's not kind of what you expect. It's like she's a young girl in her 20s.
Really.
That you assume to be Elizabeth Tucker.
Okay.
Where's the picture?
It's on the actual board.
I'll grab it.
Thank you, Jean. All right. So we come in and we just kind of peruse for a minute to kind of look regular. And Axel will whisper to these guys, like, so are we going to announce ourselves as friends of Summers, as agents? What's the play?
Yeah, I think that would probably be smart.
All right.
Come up to her.
Did you see her? Is she like kind of hot?
She is easy on the eyes. Like, she looks not a your bit... typical antique dealer.
She looks AI generated.
How dare you?
Herpin says.
She just has her head down. Her. She's kind of like in the back office, kind of just doing paperwork. She says, yes. Papers aside.
Heirlooms! Do you do heirlooms?
Well, heirlooms, I'm Elizabeth. How are you?
No, I meant...
Hi, Agent Jericho.
He starts sweating profusely.
Axel does that thing like where he puts his whole hand on Herbert's face and just pushes it backwards.
Hi, Agents Jericho, Sybil, Hairpin.
Raises her glasses, kind of puts it up on her head. She says, nice to meet you.
Alice gasps. She's even more beautiful than I thought.
Close the door. Yeah, she to her office.
Oh, okay. Axel kind of raises his eyebrow. He's like, okay.
So have a seat. So you're agents of what organization?
FBI.
Okay. What can I do for you?
Are you familiar with the house on 1206?
You see, like, she's like, you can see the dread on her face. She says, oh yeah.
We have come to investigate the house, we'll say. What can you tell us about it?
1206 Spooner Ave. I'm sure you've heard it's kind of local legend. Nobody, everybody thinks it's haunted. Or there's something weird going on there. I've never been in it myself, but obviously I've lived here for a while, and history kind of stacks up. It's I'm sure you guys are aware of the recent murder that happened there.
Murder?
Or someone was killed, that's what I know. I don't know.
Have you ever communicated? Did you know the recently deceased? Did he ever talk to you?
What was his name?
Arthur Donnelly.
I never met him personally, but he did live here. Yeah, I mean, honestly, Guys, the only thing I've done dealing with 1206 Mooner is I deal in antiques, and with that, when people decease, their furniture gets moved around, so I've helped move and sell some of the past residents' furniture, but I did not know Arthur. Sorry to hear about him, though.
What about someone else? Mr. Summers. He's working with us in this case. You ever, and he'll even describe Mr. Summers, you ever work with this man, or have you ever seen around here?
Okay, roll something to... Are you trying to conceal that you're DG?
Wouldn't she already know?
Well, she's a friendly.
She's a friendly.
We were told that she was a friendly, yeah. But you never know how much a friendly knows, right?
I think we would be open with about the fact that we're DG. Like, that's the whole point of talking to her, is to pick a brain about any supernatural shit that might be going on, right?
Well, again, like, not all friendlies know everything about everything. So, but we were told that she was a friend. It's like, we were told you have worked with our department previously.
So what do you know about the department that Summers works for?
The organization?
Yeah.
Yes, the organization.
Why is he sweating so much?
I think it's probably congenital.
You're pretty... But I have a commission.
Yeah, he does.
He's sort of young to be in the organization working with you fellows, isn't he?
Yes, we suspect there is a clerical error.
Yeah, that's an organization this large, some shit slips through the cracks sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just...
don't touch anything. Stop smarting so much.
I love he goes, I'm smart.
He's really good with the computer.
Well,
nice.
I've had one incident with your organization. I tracked down an ambulance of sorts. This had to be 6 years ago.
Did that have anything to do with this case?
No, not to my knowledge, and frankly, I don't want to talk about it. She gets, like, a very serious face. And she's like, so I was about your age when I got introduced to the organization, looks at Herbert. But I can guess as to what matters she might be looking into at 1206.
Right.
Here's what I can do for you. I can go back in my records. It's going to take me a couple of days, maybe. Maybe not that long, I don't know. There's been a lot of movement. And I can try to see if there's anything I can find. How far back... I mean, what time frame am I looking... can I get a narrow... Because, I mean, I think this goes back all the way to the 50s, that house.
Well, could we pop out to the van real quick, show you something?
Is it something I want to see?
It's a table.
Sure.
It's a table. It's a table.
Okay. Like,
I just didn't know. There might be a link with this table to the Wheeler family, who I believe are the ones you're talking about from the 50s. If you could just give it an eyeball, let us know what you think.
Okay, sure.
And Liz, do you do container units? Do you do container units? Do you put things in containers at the units?
Have you ever been to Arthur Donnelly's?
Furniture.
I think what Airplane's getting at here You said you didn't know Arthur Donnelly. You haven't happened to have ever been to, the storage unit, number 2230 out at, the store, have you?
No, we keep all our stuff here.
Okay. But can you tell us anything about this table? Maybe it is part of the Wheeler collection?
She goes out to it. You open the van. She kind of side-eyed the shotguns. And did she take some lie from the...
What,
they're
shotgun shovels. It's like,
damn it, Herbert. Don't uncover this shit back here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were...
Okay, she looks at the furniture. She gets around. She's like, fake.
Fake?
Presumably this is trying to be something, you know, from the 60s. This is plywood.
Okay.
Nothing.
Great, can we leave it here with you?
Sure. <It's>
like, great. Maybe you can pass it along.
Yeah. All right.
There is nothing remarkable about it whatsoever.
Not that I can tell.
Can you take
it? This does bring to mind
down for you.
Oh.
This does remind me of something from the original owners that was here forever ago. Now, who did I sell that to? And she's trying to think. She's like, yeah. She's like, I think I have a good lead for you though. So, let me look through my files and I can get back to you in a couple days.
Okay.
Elizabeth, one more question.
Sure.
What are you doing tonight? You free?
we're not free.
She puts her glasses down. She's like, good day.
Don't even get to roll anything.
All right. Well, that was actually really useful. Shit.
You know that she's trying to find something with furniture or anything that's been moved around. Maybe she'll be able to find the something from the original, the Wheelers, or maybe something else.
Well, what is our game plan? What other leads do we have?
We could try to get a hold of Yamil Yarrow, this abnormal parapsychologist, whatever the hell he's calling himself nowadays.
So you have him. He's a friend. He's the only other friendly here. You have, just to refresh everybody, there, you haven't talked to the coroner, the guy that actually said that Arthur was a suicide, is what he said it was, and he also said it was a suicide for Emil.
Mm-hmm.
Isri, the person that died 6 months ago. And you also feel that there's just so much more, you know, whether it be at the county seat, doing Herbert's hacking, or going to the newspaper, that you could find just loose papers about the prior residents.
Right. We could definitely just more research, for certain.
Yeah.
Okay. I was kind of assuming that we learned all that we would get to know from the newspaper.
Oh, no. With Herbert here, he can tell you he can't find it right away, but he says this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Or maybe it's like hard copy, like it's not even digitized, right?
Yeah. He thinks this is just the tip of the iceberg once he gets a hold of these, all these names.
What do you guys think? Like, do we want to go on another research kind of thing? Do we want to go talk to Yamil? Do we want to go to the coroner?
Library. Have you heard of microfilm? Microfilm.
Yes, of course.
Well, yeah, the newspaper might store some of that. You
go to the library. Find some library microfilm. We'll get records longer than the internet.
Hmm. Is that what we're feeling? We want to try to track some more stuff down.
I'd like to talk to Yamil, but we can go to the newspaper.
Keep in mind, it's Saturday, so I don't know what all is going to
be. Library's closed.
Alright. Ymil, then.
Y'all have
Herbert,
to sleep.
Herbert, I like where, you're, I like where your head's at. We have to sleep right now. We spent all day talking to...
I could use a nap. Yes.
No, the library's not closed. You can go to the library.
Okay. Hey, no. Is that what we're feeling? Listen, we got Herbert. He's primed. I can tell he's caffeinated. He's ready to go. You know?
Let him loose. He's like a digital bloodhound.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. Yes.
Are you sure you don't want to change your name to Digital Bloodhound?
No, that's a good one.
It was taken.
Oh, it's taken. Oh,
I've met him, actually. Oh, he's an asshole. Sense.
It's just add some... Can you add some characters, special characters at the end? Never mind, let's go to the library. All right.
Let's go.
So, yeah, let's go somewhere we can do some research, then.
Okay.
Herbert, this is not my strong suit, so, I mean... You might want to take the lead on this, actually, man.
Look, I just know about the microfilm. I'm kind of a computer dude. I know that, like, really old stuff lives offline, yo.
I can investigate. Hey, you are so hip.
So hip.
My word. I will take lead on the microfilm.
Yeah.
If you want to continue researching on the internet,
I can. I can look up law. Around the law library.
Is what you're implying that like all the old newspapers are going to be in the library? Like that's where they're actually going to be kept. Okay. Yeah. That seems about right.
Yeah. Let's
Makes
do
sense
it.
To me. Y'all head there. Saturday. So. A handful of people there, the librarian, unless you want to talk to another NPC, we can do that. If not, I can say she shows you directly to the files.
What's your name?
Good day. What is your name?
How old is she?
Does she
Her
have a
name
picture?
Is Janet NPC Smith, and...
She Does she introduce is, herself beautiful. With the whole thing?
Wow. That's a fun name.
Okay. Yes.
It's such a
Is
pretty
a
name.
Hacker with a tag like the NPC. What's up, girl?
What's a hacker?
Oh.
Oh, my. You're hip.
Okay, what do we need to fucking roll?
Roll charisma. Now, now you're doing this, you gotta roll charisma, Herbert, or something else to sway her. Me? Maybe you'll get advantage with her help.
Don't fumble.
You're the one flirting.
There is no good outcome here. Persuade.
Wait, how did this turn into flirting?
Yeah, I don't know.
he said, sup, girl. She thinks you're flirting.
Oh, with the sup, girl.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know how else to take that.
Hey, girl, hey.
You'd roll the luck.
I'm sorry, I missed. But I'll take it. That doesn't seem...
All right.
He'll take the failure.
She's like, it's over there. I guess you've got to roll. You're going to have to roll this with some disadvantage.
God damn it.
Okay, right. Y'all just want to do a general search through archives of the library.
Is that the skill?
Yeah. Right. Is there another one that makes sense to y'all? Like, you're looking through hard copies, I suppose. I'm willing to take anything
right.
else if you think you would want to do something else, but search makes sense to me just to...
I definitely don't think I can demolitions my way through this.
All right, do it with a negative.
What, we all have to do it with negative? Or just hairpin?
I'm going to say negative because you made me do an NPC and you failed the flirt test.
You son of a
You
bitch.
Fuck. All right, negative 20. That's low.
Oof.
Success from Alice.
Success for Alice.
Yeah, failure for the other two of us.
Yep.
What are you looking for, Alice?
Do you mean specifically, like, what family do I want to research?
Yeah. What about the house? What family era? What decade?
I don't know.
Well, can I help with an intelligence?
Sure.
If you... And Daisy, like, if you look at just the list of the hit list from the house, like, that's probably the best way to kind of decide what you're going to prioritize.
Success.
Yeah, well, I am looking at
Herbert it. Notices he might not be able to find anything, but he knows there's way more documents here from the early 1900s than what you were finding at the county seat.
The early 1900s?
So maybe wow. Pre-Wheeler. Okay. So we look... Can we look at Wheeler and pre-Wheeler? Can we look at the 50s, maybe?
Yeah. Alice will choose to focus on that.
Okay.
Info from the early 1900s.
Okay.
With her success.
Find some information, old photos, and this is from 1905. Of the Wheelers.
Oh. Of the Wheelers.
Of Elizabeth Wheeler as well. And she owned the house also, you know, the furthest back you've already found is the Wheelers lived there from at 1950 up until 1956.
Right.
But this is from 1905. Let me read through this real quick.
Just and this is sure. Elizabeth Wheeler, not Isabel Wheeler, who's the name we have.
Sorry. It is Isabel, my bad.
Okay, sorry.
It's Michael and Isabel. And this is what you find out about them. Let me drag that over here. I was just making sure there's no...
Jean, if you'd be so kind.
I shall.
I have added a Wheeler. One.
Let me find out where this is.
And Jean, I'm just going to drop notes in. You can... It's your board, so you organize it or delete as you wish.
Okay. Or you can definitely put your own notes on there for you, like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Where are we at? All right.
This is really interesting. Sorry, all the way back to 1905.
Yeah. I told you.
Did we have any idea that the house was that old?
I did.
You did not. You don't know when it was built. You just know that that's the furthest back it goes. Is that
well? It's worth noting that at the very beginning it just says up to 1956.
Right.
That's all it says for the Wheelers.
Right, the Wheeler marriage.
Yeah. Can y'all see that at all?
Yeah.
Does someone read it or y'all want me to?
Sure.
May 1905.
Give it to us from Alice. Like an Alice reading.
I'm eating a quesadilla.
So typical.
May 1905, Meadowbrook celebrates the marriage of a Michael Wheeler and Isabel Nacht. Wheeler, 30, is a quintessential self-made man, a dashing young stonemason who prospered from contracts with governments and churches around the region. His business specializes in gargoyles, marble cuts, tiles, and monuments. Nacht, 18, is the daughter of a wealthy landowning family. Michael and Isabel were the darlings of the town. In a grainy wedding photo, she looks slim and proper.
Interesting.
Okay.
So you spend, I'm going to say, about 4 hours. And this is getting to be about the afternoon, I would think, by the time you'll go to the antique store, look this up. So what do y'all think? I think you'll have about like one more roll worth of search before it's nighttime and get kicked out of the library.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that, and then let's go ahead and call it there for the episode.
Okay.
That is really interesting. I don't know, what do you guys think for
I think it's kind of creepy for a 30-year-old to go after an 18-year-old, that's what I think.
Long time. It was also 1905, so just be glad she was 18.
You're not wrong.
I don't know. Like, do we just want to... I'm actually kind of curious now if we can find anything about the death of the Wheelers. Like, of them toward the end. Like, what was the nature... because the Kreese has moved in the house and they got weird. So I'm kind of thinking something happened when the Wheelers were there, because it sounds like the Wheelers were pretty normal. So I'm saying...
I don't know. Something about the fact he's a stonemason that specializes in gargoyles. Something about that sticks out to me. I feel like that's relevant. I don't know how.
By the way, the name Nacht is literally... I mean, I think that's German for night.
Yeah. N-A-C-H-T.
Yeah. But,
yeah, also so the land-owning family... might be something there.
Oh, that she's the daughter of a landing event. She might be from money, the Nacht family. Yeah. Maybe we can look into the Nacht family, because if he's a self-made man, he's like a guy who's has a skill and made a business. Yeah. But maybe her family's weird.
Can Herbert's gonna go up to the lady at the front desk again and say, "Hey, NPC, sup?"
Oh, you're going to make another charisma roll.
Do you know where the obituaries and those records are? Please. Pretty. Please.
Are you flirting with me?
Just then his phone rings and he answers, Mom, I'm busy. Mom, no, I'm working. It's a girl. No, I'll call you later. Sorry. Yes.
I guess roll your charisma... at a negative 40.
You son of a bitch.
No. Roll another charisma to see. If you get good on this, then maybe you get a plus. Okay.
I get nothing.
All right. Y'all can roll your searches at the negative 20 again.
The negative 20 again?
Guys, I tried.
Do the searches not get better as we go? Because, like, we've
pierced
about...
is actually... I mean, if I'm kind of... This is my take on it, but it is supposed to be really hard to find what I'm giving you.
Okay, fair. Fair. Okay. So, another negative 20.
I mean...
Success?
I got a success for Axel. Because we're looking into the Wheelers, right? We want to know more about them.
The Wheelers, and let me roll... negative 20.
Success.
Eight.
An 8.
Okay. Yes, and I will look into the Nacht family.
Okay. Do we want to get one for Herbert, too?
I think I used one.
It's Hairpin. That's insensitive.
Hair trick.
I'm sorry, Hairpin.
Did you dead name him?
Are you not going to roll? Are you just not going to do a search?
I can. He's like, what? Oh,
John's like,
sorry.
No.
He was playing Candy Crush on his phone.
No, I talked to the NPC.
That's a failure.
Barely a fail. Well,
barely.
Wait, is your search a 20?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's impossible for you to succeed.
Well, I don't want to make it impossible for you to succeed, Joe. I mean,
I'm getting ADD vibes from
definitely. All right, so what do we find out?
I don't know. Should I make it impossible for him to do it? All right. Here's what you find, Joe. Sorry, okay. Axel finds this, if you want to read that. 1907.
Let's see, where was...
Yeah, I'll bring it for you.
Oh, thank you.
You know, sometimes you blow up bodies, and sometimes you do research in a library. That's this game.
That's the game.
You chose this, Alice. Y'all can always go to the house. I don't see why y'all aren't going to the house.
Hey, Brad keeps saying it. He's like, why don't you just go to the house? Okay, so here's what I found. May 1907, stonemason Michael Wheeler begins construction of a small house. A small house. On 1206 Spooner for himself and his invalid wife, Isabel. Isabel Wheeler suffers from some sort of palsy, which is resistant to treatment of many doctors that her desperate husband has hired from out of state. Don't like the word desperate, not gonna lie.
Alice, okay. You look into the Nacht family but find nothing about that, but what you do find is this bit of information. A couple of decades later, in the 1940s,
August 1940 to August 1955. Various articles cover the strange disappearance of cats, dogs, and other pets around Central Meadowbrook. Articles over the years suggest everything from coyotes to disease to sadistic killings. No direct, consistent cause is ever identified. These cases seem to cease after August 1955. So who moved out after August 1955?
It's when the Wheelers died, close to that time.
So, which one of the Wheeler family was the psycho that was torturing animals?
Well,
one of them was invalid.
One of them was invalid, and the other one was desperate. So,
maybe
I'm kind of thinking,
did they have a nasty cat pet?
Did they not have children?
Not from what I'm seeing. As she was an invalid, maybe she couldn't. She was sickly. But 1955. Something happened in 55. But they didn't. It says they lived there till 56.
Interesting stuff.
I think we're getting to something here, guys.
But anyway, guys, I guess that's where we want to call it. Till next time.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
the exciting
so.
Conclusion to this.
Well, I don't know. I think it is interesting.
Gargoyles. You know?
What will happen?
Dead animals.
Who will what Herbert will flirt with next?
Who will Herbert flirt with next? Oh, man. Everyone, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching live. You're live with us. It really means a lot. If you want to get everything a week early, if you want to support us, head over to Patreon. It's linked wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening. Consider supporting us. There's something that someone had said on one of our Patreon posts. Art had said that. I think it was saying that. Tell me that that Finnegan and Louis get to play D&D someday.
I'm so into that, playing D&D as Delta
people,
Green characters.
That'd be
I'm
wild.
So into
awesome.
That idea.
They did survive.
They did, yeah. But yeah, but if you want to support us, and all the support that we've had, like, it keeps us going. We really appreciate it, guys. But Brad, great job today, man.
Same to y'all.
Good job, then.
Thank you.
I've done a lot. I mean, I'm continuing to be impressed. We've moved to how many rooms each episode?
Yeah.
We are.
Whole library.
We're killing it.
Whole library.
All right. So, Brad, you want to take us out?
Sure. Thanks for watching, and stay safe, stay sane.
Bye.